Welcome back to the Balancing Act podcast. I'm Andy Tempty. On the Balancing Act, we talk to business leaders and industry experts to explore the balancing acts we play in our professional lives and learn about the events that put rocket boosters behind their career success. Today, we have Prajal J.J. Ghatak joining us. Prajal is the CEO and co-founder of Future of Work technology provider OnLoop. He's joining us from Singapore today. I'm personally keenly interested in exploring OnLoop's collaborative team development framework today and the OnLoop claim that you'll never write a performance review again. I'm just really excited to introduce you to the audience. Welcome to the show, Prajal.
No, thank you so much, Andrew. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, excellent. Before we get started, I ask all of my guests this question. Please tell our listeners your story.
Well, it depends on how much time you have, but I'll be but I'll be somewhat quick. You know, I think the best way I describe myself is as a technology entrepreneur, an angel investor, and a CEO coach. I live in Singapore with my wife and 15-day-old son. I am Singaporean by nationality today and consider Singapore home, but I spend the formative part of my life in India. I've now been to 49 countries and I've lived both across the Americas and APAC. And from a very sort of young age, wanted to be as global as I could and sort of help bridge sort of different parts of the world and different cultures. And I've also sort of found that the other constant thread of my career has been, how do you make people more effective at work? And a deep belief that businesses are nothing but a collection of humans. And unfortunately, I believe we've done a pretty terrible job at helping humans optimize themselves, both for the purposes of themselves as well as the purposes of the business. That's what led to OnLoop being born in many ways. And I feel lucky to do the work we do.
Yeah, I'm so excited for this conversation because as computers will be thinking in quotes at a higher and higher level, what do we have to bring to the world of work but our human selves? Mm-hmm. So the work that you're doing at OnLoop to make the human experience better, I am all for it. Prajal, if you had to pick one event in your life that just was a key accelerant, put rocket boosters under your career, what would that be?
I think it's a great question, and I've been very, very lucky that there have been a few. You know, ultimately, when a rocket needs to take off, the most amount of effort that it takes is in the initial part of his journey. Right. And you know, I was born in India to two loving parents, but They did the best they could, but I knew that what I wanted to do in my life was sort of more global and more expanded. And so at 17, I got a full scholarship to move to Singapore and study at the Singapore Management University. And to this day, I feel very loyal to Singapore as an institution because I believe that's the institution that invested in me before anybody else did by choice. And then getting my MBA at Stanford Business School was probably the most pivotal second piece. And then working at Uber in 2016 for 3.5 years was probably the third. So I would say I would rank Singapore, Stanford Business School, and Uber as the three biggest rocket boosters I've been lucky to have.
And I see the Stanford football helmet right behind your head there for our audio listeners. He's got a very nice setup with a little Uber in the background. I'm sure pictures of Singapore. So those three events are in the picture behind you. That's very cool. Please introduce our listeners to OnLoop. What is OnLoop? What's the primary pain point within corporations that you're out there trying to solve?
Yeah. So the best way we describe OnLoop today is applied AI for effective manager and team management. And our objective is to make sure that every manager in the world can be a good manager, if not a great manager. And we believe that every manager needs to do a certain set of activities on a somewhat consistent basis to make every team member perform at their most optimal self. And we call that framework collaborative team development, and it has five layers to it. At the base of it is what we call energy, or managing how full someone's battery is. And, you know, think about a person as a cell phone. Like, your cell phone works fine at 100% battery or 50% battery, but once the battery starts getting low, you have to recharge it or else it loses all battery. We believe human beings are similar. And when human beings continue to undertake activities that are energy draining versus replenishing, their battery goes down. And for every manager, it's very important to be most foundationally cognizant of where someone's battery is. And if someone's battery is at 25%, doesn't mean that they can't do work that day, but they probably need to be recharged soon. And what I've seen is that people often think about well-being as a sort of parallel to productivity. We think it sits at the very foundation of productivity, and we can talk more about it. The next layer on top of that, and we think this is about 40% what drives productivity, is goals. And people have talked about goals for a very long time. You know, we were chatting a little bit before the show around planning and how much companies spend time setting their goals. And we've had KPIs and MBOs and OKRs and all of these goal frameworks. But they've all been built to help businesses meet objectives, not for humans to understand what they're spending time doing. And so we define goals as either targets, so you're trying to achieve a certain target, or a project, you're trying to complete a particular project, or a skill, you're trying to learn something. And in our work, we've seen that those three make up each person's body of work, both as input and output. And then you can link that between an individual or a team or a company. And that gives you much more clarity on sort of what each person is working on. And when we work with companies to define goals at each and every node in the org, that sort of gives a huge productivity boost. And we call those two layers the layers of base performance, i.e., if you have a team member and you manage their energy well, and you're very clear on what their goals are, they will not be a terrible performer. Now, they might lack a certain skill for their role. So if someone's a process engineer and they have no attention to detail, so they have none of that skill, they may fail. But then it becomes very clear that to succeed in their job, the person needs to develop attention to detail as a skill. And feedback, which I'll come to in a second, only plays a role in sustaining performance and not in base performance. The next two layers in our pyramid is celebrate feedback, not for recognition, but to help people identify superpowers, and then improve feedback, not to criticize people, but make them understand what their blind spots are. And we deliberately believe that celebrate feedback is more important than improve feedback. And actually, for people to feel productive, they need to know what their goals are. And then they need to know what their strengths are to go then achieve those goals. And then improve feedback is very much about understanding your own blind spots so that they don't hurt your superpowers. But providing constructive feedback is typically something that high performers crave more. And people, managers, end up giving low performers more constructive feedback. And it should be exactly the other way around, whereby if you have a low performer, being clear on their goals, making sure they know their strengths, getting their confidence up is probably what's going to increase their performance. And if you have a high performer, giving them good constructive feedback, and then finally the fifth layer, helping them learn and grow, is probably what's going to retain them. And so, yeah. And this framework really came together through our work with sort of hundreds of managers at this point. And we didn't set out to build a framework. We set out, and Onloop was born because me and my other co-founders were sick and tired of HR practices like performance management and L&D tools that were terrible that we were subject to. And we were like, there has to be a better way of doing this. But in the process of our work, we realized that managers need to demystify what being a good manager is. And actually, it doesn't have to be that complicated. We can actually break it down to its constituent parts. And where we take a lot of inspiration from is the fitness industry, where being healthy was considered this sort of thing that was hard to reach. Today, we know that health is about diet, sleep, and exercise. And if you're able to make micro progress, you can get better every day. It doesn't mean that you can climb Mount Everest or become an Olympian overnight, but you can make progress. And similarly, in our framework, with the CDD framework, we have a clarity score that sort of gives you a sense of where you are across all those five layers, and then gives you micro next actions to take as a manager or an IC as to what to do next. And we believe that if we can chip away at building the right habits, we can do that forward.
Yeah, so I think that's a great segue into something that I harp on all the time, which is if I'm a leader or a manager, one of my primary jobs is to be a coach to the team members that are in my charge. And so many, I'll call them managers because they're not showing leadership characteristics in doing this. They look at coaching as, this kind of drudgery. Well, we don't have time for that. We just need to get stuff done. So it sounds like you, through OnLoop, you've developed a tool to help grow that skill in managers. If I ran a really quick thought experiment, I'll put a mid-level manager, sit them down in front of you right now, who thinks coaching really isn't their job. How do you help them see the value of putting coaching first?
So one thing that I say often is that the words manager, leader, and coach are very distinct terms. Okay. And we have a habit of confusing them. So I'll first lay out how I define a manager, how I define a leader, how I define a coach. I'll answer your question in a second. Ultimately, a manager's job is to execute. And a manager's job is to take resources that is under their management, and that is financial and people resources, to achieve a certain outcome. And we define that outcome as a target or a project or a skill, right? Now, if that means tying people up drives that outcome, if it means being kind to them drives that outcome, ultimately the job is to drive an outcome, right? And that's how I define a manager. The way I define a leader is to inspire. And leading is about, so at Stanford Business School, the fundamental question of leadership was, why should someone follow you, right? So why should someone decide that they want to focus on what you're doing versus something else, right? And then coaching is nothing but being in a Socratic state of asking people questions. And to be in an ask orientation versus in a tell orientation. And that's how I define coaching. Now, I believe that you can be a very effective manager without necessarily being trained in a coaching mindset. Now, I think you can be an even better manager when you know how to shift between being in an tell orientation versus an ask orientation.
Yeah.
I don't think a manager always needs to be in an ask orientation. I think they can often be in a tell orientation. But being a coach is about being an ask orientation. And so I think in the same way that being a coach is not something everybody can do, I don't think we can aspire to live in a world where every manager is a great coach. However, we don't think that being a great coach is a necessary condition to be a great manager. Now, we give managers the right aids around asking good questions. And so around the five layers of CTD, if you ask the right questions, you will probably understand better what the state of the person is. To be honest, AI can ask those questions. And we can train software to get good at asking the right questions at the right cadence to understand a person better. And so over time, I'd like OnLoop to become a really amazing AI manager copilot, whereby we can augment every manager with the right capabilities to be good, and different people are going to have different levels. I don't know if that answers the question, but I think people use the word manager, leader, and coach kind of interchangeably, although those three words have very specific meanings.
Yeah, you hit the question, and what I heard was that it's difficult for us to expect all managers to also be great coaches. It's just that's difficult. You're building and have built a piece of technology that is that assistant that is going to help a manager who is, let's say, not as strong on the coaching side to become much stronger. So you're not saying that the two are not interrelated. You're building a piece of technology that is going to help more managers be better at their jobs. And that I like that frame, that the ask orientation versus the tell orientation, because that's how I do a lot of my work distinguishing leaders and managers. A leader is one who can really listen and ask great questions, and is helping guide their teams. Versus, and this has a negative connotation, but the more directive, tell my way or the highway manager that's one of the distinguishing features. I love it that you've built a piece of tech that's going to allow those tell-oriented managers to have a new set of tools to also cross over on the ask side of things. What's the most important balancing act that you had to play as you were launching OnLoop?
It's a very good question. And I think the one that comes first to mind is being paranoid and being calm at the same time. And I think that if you're in a state of hyper paranoia, you are not able to think clearly and you're not able to make decisions soundly, because you're driven by that paranoia. However, if you're not paranoid enough, you don't drive enough of a sense of urgency. And I think startups, especially venture-backed startups, are a difficult game, because to build an accelerated, very large company, you have to act with a certain sense of urgency, yet make very good, strategically correct decisions. And the two are, in some sense, at odds, that sort of need to be managed. So I'll pause there, but I think that's the first one that really sort of came to mind.
Yeah. Thanks for that, JJ. We're going to take a really short commercial break, and we'll be right back with Prajol Ghatak. Has trust broken down in your organization? Learn how smooth workflows enable accountability and unlock trust to create long-term business success. Learn more in my new book, The Balanced Business, available today at Amazon.com and wherever books are sold. And we're back with Prajol Ghatak talking about technological advances in the future of work tech space. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm really interested in the collaborative team development framework that you've built at OnLoop. Can you give us more insight into that framework, and what differentiates your framework from other rubrics in the future of work tech space?
No, absolutely. So So CTD is a hierarchy of team member needs to drive optimal productivity. So, the best analogy I can draw is Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And if needs towards the base of the pyramid are not met, then the needs towards the top of the pyramid are not unimportant, but less important. I was actually talking to someone at McKinsey the other day who was telling me that they're starting to question Maslow's hierarchy with regards to purpose, for instance, whereby people might need purpose even if the bottom needs are not fully met. And so we make a similar corollary where the needs at the bottom are more important. So the five layers are: at the bottom is energy, or how motivated or inspired or engaged someone is. The next two layers are goals and celebrate feedback to understand superpowers. So think about that as what really drives productivity, which is, are people very clear on what their goals are? And then do they understand their core strengths to achieve them? And then the fourth and the fifth layers are improve feedback or constructive feedback to understand blind spots. And then the last layer is continuous skills growth, so which we call the learning layer. And if anyone thinks of a highly sort of high functioning employee, they would say that person is motivated, productive, and learning, right? But the three have a very clear hierarchy to it. So people are not going to be productive if they're not motivated at least some level, right? And doesn't mean they have to be 100% motivated, but they need some level of motivation and inspiration to be productive. And people are not going to be thinking about learning and growing if they're not productive. And so for every manager, they need to always know at what sort of hierarchy they have to intervene to help a team member get to the next level. So if someone is really struggling with their basic goals, then really understanding the blockers at that goal level and what's driving a lack of progress becomes very important. But if someone's crushing their goals, they know exactly what they're doing well, what they're craving is actually improved feedback towards the top of that pyramid. And right. So what is very important is the hierarchical nature of these needs and helping a manager really demystify that and using things like one-on-ones to sort of really do a check across the pyramid, bottom to top, on where people are. And if people are stuck towards the bottom, just solving that. So if someone's really fatigued and just uninspired, focus there and try and understand and apply a coaching mindset to understand what's going on at the base. Versus if you have feedback for that person, don't give that person that improved feedback when their energy is broken, because it's not going to have the intended impact. And so that sits further up the pyramid. And so what we try to do with managers is really help demystify that. And then we use the app to build the right habits and then reduce the friction using things like Gen AI for things like feedback and goals to make it much more habitual and easy.
Awesome. Well, I love it. I'd love to get a demo from you at some point. For sure. In the future. Last kind of really substantive question today. We're not wrapping up the show yet, but I love the messaging on your website that you'll never write another performance review. I'm sure there's a lot of people that look at that and go, wow, wouldn't that be awesome? I'm on the record in that writing an annual performance review, that process should be abandoned and that feedback should be in the flow of work. I'm actually on the record to replace the performance review with a skill gap and a learning review that then really kind of floats all boats. Let's suppose that I'm a leader that resonates with that messaging. What's the main challenge that I face if I try to ditch the annual performance review and adopt the on-loop framework?
Yeah. So we were the first company in the world back in 2021 to automate performance reviews. And today, if you look at any McKinsey, Bain, Economist research, and they talk about the impact generative AI can have on manager productivity, performance reviews comes up as the first use case on where that efficiency can be created, right? On the other hand, there's a lot of public companies, actually every financial institution in the US that is regulated needs to have an annual performance review. It is a compliance requirement to be a publicly traded financial institution in the US. So the question is, how do we marry the two together? And the way we see performance reviews is that it is a stitched together system of record, right? And stitched together systems of record with the power of generative AI is better produced by technology than by a human. What humans should be doing is making regular observations. So we actually now believe that we should stop trying to teach people how to do feedback. In the same way that we don't memorize phone numbers anymore because we have an address book, right? So,
yeah.
So when I was 7 years old, I knew my mom's phone number and all my friends' phone numbers because we would dial them. We don't anymore. And machines are better at structuring feedback from an observation than most humans are. However, what we need from the human is the observation. And so what we make it very easy is to collect 360 observations from everyone. We then rewrite that using common feedback frameworks like situation, behavior, impact. And then we extract skills and competencies from that observation. And when it comes time for doing a quarterly formalized review, which we really recommend people do, and the conversation is very important. And if you're doing any sort of ratings or bonuses, you need to base it in objective data. We then stitch together all of those observations to generate what we call a prism summary. And a prism summary goes through all of the feedback, writes out well-written, well-structured paragraphs with regards to your celebrates or superpowers, and then looks at all of the skills that show up most often, does the same thing for improves, and then lists down all of your goals. And we create one of those for the individual and one of them for the manager. And then that replaces the manual performance review, which is written from scratch. And we then create a system of action that is ongoing. And the system of record simply becomes a summarization of those observations. And actually, I coined a term called eloquence bias about a year, year and a half ago. And if we go back to the biggest reason why there are gaps in the workplace and why minorities, introverts, and women typically get left behind is because they advocate for themselves less. And those managers who are women, minorities, introverts advocate for their people less. And promotions ultimately get boiled down to whoever advocated and made themselves visible or which manager made their teams visible.
Right.
And that can happen because we haven't used the body of work to make decisions. We've gone into calibration rooms where it becomes a loudest voice wins, despite these onerous reviews. And actually what you're working on right now is that based on certain skills, we can recommend reviews based on those observations and can rate people on certain competencies. Generated the same way for the full organization by a consistent grader and not every manager, because my definition of executive presence might be very different from someone else's. And when two different managers are rating two different people, and then we compare that, that is the dumbest process in the world. Because it has no basis of putting it next to each other. And it's crazy how we've lived so long running that process.
Yeah, so you've got,
and now we finally have tech that can do it better.
Yeah, so you've got equity built into the machine, as it were.
Correct. Yeah. And machines are way better at equity than the bulk majority of humans.
Yeah.
And that is a fact.
Yeah. Awesome. Prajal, I've got two really quick questions for you. If I give you a time machine, you send a message to an earlier version of yourself, what's the message and what previous version of yourself do you send it to?
That do not be motivated by fear or shame and be motivated by curiosity.
Yeah.
And the best entrepreneurs in the world are fearless and shameless. And know that things will always be okay. And I didn't grow up in an entrepreneur's home, and I was trained to go get a good job and get promoted every couple of years. And I've made a lot of bad decisions from fear or shame. And I've slowly chipped away at it through a combination of psychotherapy, coaching, and psychiatry over the years.
Fantastic answer. We are all works in progress. What are you focused on right now in your personal journey of growth as a leader, other than you've got a 15-day-old son in the house?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the one that I'm very, very focused on is not letting myself get triggered. And you know, when most leaders get angry or frustrated, it's because they're triggered in some shape or form. And people don't realize that anger is actually a secondary emotion. And anger always comes from some level of hurt, fear, or shame.
Right.
And as a leader, I believe I get triggered more often than I would like. And I need to continue to make sure that I am always able to operate from my frontal lobe versus what I call having an amygdala hijack where I am triggered. And that's something I'm very, very focused on as a leader right now.
So many of us can learn from that level of awareness. So thank you so much for sharing that. Prajal, what's next and where can folks learn more about OnLoop?
Yeah, you know, to be honest, we're just getting started. So, there's a lot that is next. We've been very lucky to have sort of grown the business pretty significantly in the last year or so. We're very focused on expanding our business in the U.S. We're focused on what we call impact tech companies. So healthcare tech, food tech, ed tech, impact investors. We find those leaders sort of focus on both accountability and development at the same time. And that fits well with how we think about the world. And, you know, building the business out to strong product market fit. I think we have early product market fit, but it's important for us to build a repeatable, scalable business. And that's a big focus. LinkedIn is probably the best way to find me. If you search for OnLoop or search for JJ Ghatak, you'll find me. I love hearing from folks. I read every single message that comes in my LinkedIn mailbox. I may not respond to everyone, but I read everyone. You have no idea how nice it is when people say, wow, that really helped me or that really inspired me. That is very, very helpful. So if I was able to make any difference, please do that.
Well, Prajal, you have inspired me today with the phenomenal work that you're doing to solve some decades-old challenges in the world of work. I love the framework, the future of work technology. Thank you for sharing your insights with our listeners today.
No, thank you for having me. This was very, very enjoyable. Thank you.
Awesome. My name is Andy Tempty. This is the Balancing Act podcast. You can find us on all the major streaming services. Please like, subscribe, rate, and most importantly, share this public good with your friends. This show was produced by Nick Tempty. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.